shifting gears today. I've been given permission by Will Evans to interview my good friend Casey Pascura about his project here on the Sewell Ranch. Casey, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, thanks, Raleigh, for having me. I'm Casey Pascura. I'm a farmer and seedsman out here on Sunfire Ranch. It's a ranch about 5 miles outside of town, up 133, owned by the Sewell family. Here we operate Wild Mountain Seeds, which has been growing seed and produce for the last 7 years. And now we've started a new venture, which is a nonprofit focused on increasing community involvement in the growing of the local seed and food supply in the Roaring Fork Valley and beyond.
Awesome. We like that beyond in the mission. We can relate at KDNK. And full disclosure, I've been interning with you for the month of March, getting my hands in the ground as much as possible here with Wild Mountain Seeds. So the nonprofit is very new, and yet its mission is especially relevant, I think, for a lot of people today. Could you talk about how your operation here and your thinking is adapting around the insecurity that a lot of people are feeling given the coronavirus and the economic crisis?
Sure, Raleigh. I feel kind of as a young farmer that we've been trying to increase people's understanding of the need for local food production. And when we're faced with times where we kind of global scale of our food supply and all of our of the potential pitfalls with that is illuminated, we all see the value in trying to build something here locally. With that said, this is growing a big chunk of our food, although I think is totally an achievable thing. Our nonprofit was kind of born around how can we utilize community support, philanthropic donations to really kickstart this movement to where we can have the necessary equipment, the well-bred seed necessary for our climate, and then the understanding of what we need to store and distribute food more efficiently in the valley.
And so a major difference, I think, between other farms that I've encountered and Wild Mountain Seeds is the focus on seeds. And it's a big piece of seed piece. You talk about wanting an organization that's teaching the community to breed seeds and select seeds. Was it community selected seeds? And you had a little run of that this past weekend, experimenting with some carrot trials with the children of Jason Sewell. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, sure, Raleigh. So as many people probably have an understanding of, but I'll kind of elaborate on, is like things that are food crops like carrots, beets, and other things are descendants of their wild relatives. These wild relatives may not produce the sweet, juicy, long, uniform root that we all know as carrot. So it's important that during the seed production part of the stewardship of these crops, that we actually taste the carrots and identify ones that have more of the bitter flavor similar to their wild relatives, as well as evaluate those roots, which was done in the fall, for vigor, size, large tops for pulling out the carrots. So I guess it was yesterday we tasted almost 700 selected roots that came from about probably 3,000 or 4,000 carrots that we evaluated. So we were able to find all the bitter flavored ones. It was a really fun thing to see the young kids discern between delicious and excellent and good enough to keep in the population. Important thing too is that we're keeping enough roots to have good genetic diversity, which is something that is also important, was the focus of the trial. So really, this is something that we're building on with all the crops, and something that if we do year in and year out, we can really increase the efficacy of our carrot seed here, and also the flavor and their ability to accumulate nutrition, which is partly related to the flavor.
How is the nutrition related to the flavor?
Yeah, so when we taste something, that really good flavor is oftentimes related to the nutrition that it's providing us. If that carrot was sweeter, had better flavor, it also likely was able to find those nutrients in the soil that we need. So flavor can be very closely related to the ability of those plants to acquire the nutrients out of the soil that we need.
And so when you are part of this selecting seed process, you're in line with countless generations of humanity who have done the same to get you the seeds that you're now tasting from.
Yeah, and you know, when you look back at ancient paintings and things and actually trace the lineage of these crops, you know, most of them were domesticated thousands of years ago. So this is a process that has been done, whether it was done through organizations or seed companies like ourselves, or university level, to preserve these crops. And this is important to be done year in and year out, or will kind of slip into the bitter carrots or carrots that don't perform in our climate.
What is your vision for the success of Seed Peace in 10 years? What would you love to see happening in this Roaring Fork Valley and beyond?
Yeah, you know, mainly what we want to see is for everybody to adapt a can-do attitude for local food production. When you look at what we can do, it is a lot. But when you have potentially just little small farmers trying to raise all the capital necessary, take all the risks to learn how to scale up the operation, it becomes a daunting task, which is really hard to accomplish. But with community support, when you think about things like community underground food storage or community seed bank and bringing people out to keep the seed so that it's kept well in our area and can adapt to any garden that it gets placed in. And so with our vision is, how can we connect the community with the seed and the community with the farmers so that we can both build more food production on local people's land that are growing local seed, but also to grow the support of farmers who can look at scaling some of these crops for storage and building a robust local food supply that can help us through tough times such as these and make us have a feeling of ease that we are doing our part in supplying something so essential.
And how does selective breeding also prepare us for the threats of climate change?
Yeah, so another part of what we are really interested in is how do we get ahead of emulating challenges that we may see in the future. You know, there's extreme conditions that happen in our normal climate, just like drought or extreme heat, that may not be what you have on your production fields because you're trying to keep them in optimal conditions. But if you actually put these crops through these tough experiences, you can find ones best suited for higher temperatures or frost, later or early frost, or excessive water, disease, and these types of things. So when you look at a research and development program, it's wise for it to also have a level of really trying to put plants into the environments they may need to survive in the future and finding genetics that are best suited for those times.
You well know from owning a seed company that people are anxious to to get their seeds in the ground. You mentioned that you have about 600 times or 600% the sales right now as you have in past years.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing everyone kind of look into buying and collecting their own seed. I think it's a feeling of security that people are seeking, as well as a lot of people suddenly being more in tune to wanting to be part of growing some of their own food supply. It's a great thing. I think that as important to acquiring that seed is also to acquire knowledge, and to also consider about where your expertise really lies. Is it in being able to grow a big garden yourself, or is it in being able to help support some other local farmers to grow more? There's many roles to be played in a more localized food system, and I think it's a good time to evaluate how we can do this together, because it'll take many people with many different talents to really grow a robust supply.
Yeah, let's talk about that. For those of you just tuning in, this is Katie and Kay. I'm Raleigh Burley speaking with Casey Pascura, who is the owner of Wild Mountain Seeds and the founder of Seed Peace, a new nonprofit all about community-supported agriculture. So you mentioned to me once this thought that you could have the gardens in town growing certain crops like the tomato starters, the peppers, the lettuce, while you have these bigger operations like yours at the Sewell's Ranch growing storage crops like roots.
Yeah, I mean, when we really look at what can really be important for a food supply, we really have to consider those winter months and the times in which we really don't have a lot coming out of the ground. And so when you look at what people can do close to their house, like growing lettuce and growing the leafy greens, these are really good ways to meet a lot of your nutrient needs, whilst the farmers, who, as it stands, typically grow a lot of these things because they're not very shippable and you can get a high dollar value for them, might shift their focus more on how can we grow those storage type vegetables, grow those storage types legumes and things that can really pull us through the tough times, figure out the storage while we kind of focus on getting our community to really garden a lot for their meeting their kind of initial summertime needs, putting up as much as they can. And that's kind of how we see it really working well, is to both build the capacity of what people are doing on their own land whilst growing community support behind our important farmers.
Mm-hmm. And Wild Mountain Seeds has benefited from the generosity of the Sewell family, allowing this experiment, in a sense, to come up on their ranch land, their ancestors' land. And it's been now 7 years. Were we going into the seventh growth season?
Yeah, it's going into the seventh season, and we couldn't be more grateful for the opportunity we have on the land. It is a really special place. You can really feel it when you're here, and there's a sense of purpose from both the Sewell family and us at Wild Mountain Seeds around our real paths being to steward and grow seed and local food supply. And I think that in a time like now, it's really rare to find people that prioritize that over other ventures in their life. And I think that through this kind of crazy times of this virus, it's just reassured our commitment to building this. And when you hear Jason and Alex and the Sewell, Jamie and the kids talk about the future, you know, they're excited about how can we build a underground food and seed storage facility that can really supply people food in the winter. How can we build the necessary greenhouse structures so that we can have protected seed crops and expand our food production in the winter? And their commitment is really admirable, and we couldn't be more excited for this next chapter as we join together and work towards these goals.
Certainly something for other families who have inherited large swaths of land to consider as a possibility. And Casey, what kind of support would you like to see from local governments to make this enterprise a reality?
Yeah, I think that when you really consider the basic needs of humans and where we have support from local governments when it comes to fire departments and when it comes to police type departments and it comes to other social services, and thinking about what can we do to best prepare our food system, whether it be from making a better plan that is a collective of knowledgeable people that have a plan of how we start making moves to make the transition to sustainable food production, where we start to consider, are there good ways to utilize capital to help some of these farmers make a risky a move, such as to purchase a carrot harvester or to build a large underground storage facility, so that we can start laying the groundwork. And in reality, when you're looking at farmers, who often can be some of the hardest workers and lowest paid for their time, and asking them to take all the risk to build larger systems and to buy some of these this equipment, I feel like there's a big opportunity here for us to look into different ways to partner to accomplish this, so that we can kind of retool and ourselves and prepare for the future, and also not to see this as something as we're preparing for bad times, but also seeing how good it would be to increase our local food supply in good times, so that we all have better health, that we're providing better health for the environment because of our systems building. And really, I think that there's no way that this would, you know, expanding local food production has very few downsides.
Mm-hmm. For the people who are ready to get in the garden, plant their seeds, anxious for starters, unsure about the state of the markets, the farmers markets, that is, or, you know, certain springtime festivals, what is your message to them about your production and what you're doing to get seeds and get plants to people?
Yeah, so you can, you know, I recommend people to look bioregionally if you're trying to buy seeds. There's no better way to have success than to start with things adapted to our climate. So you can find our seeds at wildmountainseeds.com. You can also find other seeds by searching Colorado seed production and high desert type seed production. So that's always a good start. And then the next, you know, things are really to research where you can find more information on what you need to do to grow better. A good gardening book is a good way to spend some of these isolation hours to figure out a plan. When it comes to getting produce and transplants, we're having everybody follow us on Instagram at Wild Mountain Seeds and at Seed Peace, where we'll be in touch on how we're going to get seeds and starts to the people. They're all growing. We're going as if things are right normal, but we'll have to get creative, and the way we're going to do that is still up in the air. So trust that we'll figure it out, and give us a follow there on the social media feeds. And we also want to kind of talk about some initiatives that we have real fast. First off being, we're going to have a free seed initiative that you'll be able to access, 5 or 6 packets of free seed that will be donations from Wild Mountain Seeds here and another friend farm of ours, Wild Garden Seeds, which is actually in Oregon, the seeds that perform well. This is a project of Seed Peace, and you'll be able to access that hopefully at the Seed Food Bank, but we may have to get creative on that. But those free seeds are really aimed at people that need the seed or may feel some food insecurity. So we do ask that take the seed if you really feel like you can't afford seed. Otherwise, these seed companies could really use support and acknowledgement as essential businesses. The second program is what we call the Adopt a Row program. And what we're doing here is asking community members to adopt rows of our farm. On these rows, we're going to be doing these varietal improvement trials, like the carrot trial, beet trial, other trials on vegetables we see really important in growing our local food supply. When you adopt the row, we'll put a trial out for carrots or whatever it is, do some selection. When we make selection, we'll only need a small part of that population for the seed production. All the rest of the food we're going to make available to people in need. We're thinking right now it will likely be available at the food bank, but that's another program that we've come up with this year. So the Adopt a Row and the Free Seed Initiative as something exciting for Seed Peace this spring.
Now, clearly with the mandated stay-at-home order continuing at least for the next few weeks, you do have an educational piece of Seed Peace. So hopefully by the end of summer, there will be opportunities for people to get engaged, volunteering, helping with the harvests, helping with the seed selections.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of the Adopt a Row program is also focused on bringing people out to the farm to do some evaluation, some tasting, as well as to kind of show what you do to evaluate and build a better, robust local seed stock. We're also looking into ways to really reach the people that feel like they may want to become farmers as a profession. And so we're really focused on ways to bring folks out and that are have that interest, show them that it is a viable way of earning a living. And we're looking at how we can expand our education as we move forward. Part of that will be getting enough people up here so that we can both do the production and the education at the same time. But this is something we're focused on.
So once again, on Instagram, what was the thing to follow?
It's at Seed Peace or at Wild Mountain Seeds.
Great. And the website?
And the website is seedpeace.org and wildmountainseeds.com.
All right. Casey, thank you so much for taking time away from your busy day on the farm. I know there's a lot to do, but we appreciate you talking to Katie and Kay about these initiatives.
Thank you, Raleigh. Find it really important, and thanks for having me.